together.
I don't know how we're doing it.
I don't know how we're doing. Okay.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to the very first episode of Coming Hot into the Box with Slice and Carnage. I am one part of that duo. I am Carnage. Nice to meet you.
And I'm the other part of that duo, Slice. Hello.
Hello, Slice.
Hello.
Oh. So this is our new venture that we have been so very excited about. We have told all of our friends, and we hope that it becomes a raging success, that we become super world famous.
Obviously. I mean, why wouldn't we?
I mean, it makes total sense.
It makes 100%
sense. I mean, you put us in front of a microphone and, oh, golden.
Just shenanigans.
Shenanigans. So that's what the purpose or the point of this podcast is in our minds, that we are going to talk about roller derby, since that's what brought us together, and how roller derby has inserted itself into the lives of nearly everybody that's tried the sport. Mm-hmm. And the ins and outs and ups and downs and the weird topics, we're here for it all.
Yeah, we're going to explore everything. If you came to get advice on how to do roller derby, you came to the wrong place.
Yeah,
that's not happening.
I mean, we might talk a little bit about something, but we're not here for the technicalities.
Yeah, there'll be no technicalities going on. I mean, we're going to explore players and refs and stuff like that, but it's more of like diving into the subculture that is roller derby.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that's what we're here for. And that's what we're excited about. And so for our very first episode, we felt like, you know, if this is the beginning, we should start at the beginning of where we both came from when it comes to roller derby.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So Slicey, why don't you go first?
So my roller derby adventure started way back in 2001.
2 whole years ago.
During the dark, dark times, we shall call it, where I was working from home and I got really tired of looking at my walls and how to decorate them.
Right. Were you thinking blood red, but you just couldn't bring yourself to do it?
I was thinking black, but then... And then I could not get Jay on board with that, but yeah. Look at us now. Now I have an entire dedicated spooky room.
Yeah, it's a pretty great spooky room.
Yeah, I eventually got him on board. I was sitting at home, death scrolling Facebook, and my friend, Marshall Law.
Shout out to Marshall Law.
Yeah, Marshall Law, who I've known since high school. We used to do theater together because we're total nerds.
Oh, I can totally see that.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Well, considering I did a wonderful rendition with her at the last after party of, what is that stupid Aladdin song?
I Can Show You the World.
Oh, A Whole New World. That's right. Yeah. Me and Marshall killed that shit.
You guys completely killed that shit. Yep. I was kind of jealous of how much you killed it.
We did. Okay. Yeah. So anyway,
Marshall had posted a recruitment flyer online, and I was just kind of like, wow, that looks fun and probably not smart to do. And at the time, I didn't know how to skate also. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to go learn how to play roller derby. I mean, it did say on the flyer, no experience necessary.
Yes,
and I've had a whole lot of no experience to offer.
And we took advantage of all of your non-experience.
Do you remember my first day?
I think so. I remember the first interaction I had with you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I said something about, you're getting there. You just gotta keep moving your feet forward. Or I don't know. I said some hopefully positive, jovial thing. And you just said something like, well, I have a great personality. Or something like that.
I do, though.
You do.
My very first interaction with you was, so I put skates on my feet and I lifted myself off of the bench and I like scooted forward, like, you know, the giraffe way that people who can't skate do. And like, I stopped moving my feet and just kind of coasted, and I coasted to the middle of the track where everybody had met. only to be told I was in the wrong place because all the freshies needed to go somewhere else. And I was so proud of myself that I had gotten to that spot and I had stopped. But then everybody clapped for me because they were like, because I told them I was really happy that I had stopped. And it was, I was like, oh, this is going to be a great relationship.
I do remember that now that you mention it, because yeah. I was in that group going like, yeah, I think you're in the wrong spot. You need to go all the way over there.
Yeah, I was like, shit.
There was defeat. There was defeat yeah. on the face a little.
And that was when we were at a different place. That was when we were at the fitness center.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the floor was like rough concrete. And I was like, oh my God, this floor is going to eat my face.
Yeah, it was the most beautiful skating surface that I've probably ever skated on, with the exception of you just couldn't fall. Like, if you fell, you were totally fucked.
You were so fucked. Oh, also, little thing to add in here. We're going to swear, and we're going to swear a lot.
Yeah, we swear a lot. But I mean, if you play derby, I mean, really, you should probably already know that.
You know, maybe don't have your kids around.
Well, I mean, really.
I mean, unless your kids swear too, well, then, you know, that's on you. That's,
yeah, yeah, I mean, whatever. Hey, you know, no judgment. No judgment. Yeah,
I'm not your parent.
No, I mean, just be respectful, dude. I don't care if you fucking swear.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Just be yourself, man. So I should say to my 6-year-old nephew, just be yourself, man. Who cares if you said S-H-I-T? Yes.
You know, a little side note here is that, okay, so I have a 10-year-old son, and me and my husband were like, oh, you know, like, if he doesn't swear, I mean, if he swears, fine, you know, it's not hurting anybody or whatever and stuff like that, until he actually went to school, and then he started teaching other kids the words, and then it became a problem. It was like, oh, now I see why we shouldn't do that.
Yeah your kid becomes that kid.
My kid was that kid
that teaches all the other little kids what fucker is. Well, my husband taught my extended family what bukkake is.
Oh
yeah, so
that was wonderful.
That was a wonderful first introduction to my extended family. So, you know, we all have our stories.
Fucking delightful.
Fucking delightful.
Where was I?
Yeah, you were talking about, oh, we were talking about the fitness center that we
the
were.
The fitness center. Okay, so that is how I started out in roller derby, and that's where I became a freshie. I was the only freshie that lasted out of my group of freshies. I was kind of the only one for a while.
So, yeah, you were there, and I have some questions written down so we don't get too off topic here. Why did you start playing it? Just for the sheer boredom of the pandemic? So I think you already answered that.
Yeah, I mean, that, and mostly I was like, oh, man, I really need something that is my own, where, you know, I'm not a mom, I'm not an electrical designer, I'm not a wife, I'm just, I have a thing. I just needed a thing. And I didn't know how much of the thing I was getting into when I got into it. Now I'm in deep, and I don't think there's any way out, to be honest.
It's true. It gets us in all in different ways. But the fact that you're now 2 years into it, making a roller derby podcast, I'd say you're pretty committed.
I'm so committed. The commitment's there. I'm not afraid of commitment.
What is your family think of all the roller derby, like your mom and your husband, like when you first started?
So when I told my mom that I was going to do roller derby, her first reaction, and this is a quote, was, at your age?
Nice.
And I was like, bitch, I'm 35. Like, what? I was like, yes, at my age. It was rude.
Jeez.
My mom thinks it's really cool now, though. She's like, every time that I have a bout and just send her pictures, she's like, oh, you look so awesome. You're my hero. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And my kid thinks I'm badass and he wants to do roller derby. And unfortunately, there's no junior leagues around here that are close. So I'll have to look into that. I'm not starting.
I was just about to say, we haven't talked about
No,
this.
I refuse to take on another fucking task. I am not starting a junior roller derby. You know, somebody close in the southern southeastern Connecticut area would like to start a junior roller derby league.
Have at it.
I encourage you.
You can email us.
So.
You can email us at cominghotintothebox@gmail.com.
Yeah, email us and we will point you in the right direction. But we, as a pair.
No, we cannot do it.
We can't do it. We can't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Logan. We can't do it.
And part of that is because we are also on the board of our league, which our league, we should mention, is Shoreline Roller Derby in Groton, Connecticut.
In beautiful, exotic Groton, Connecticut.
Yes.
Where?
There's the Gold Star Bridge.
There is that.
And electric boat.
And submarines. And there's submarines here. And
don't we have like a museum of submarines?
Oh, there's Pfizer. Pfizer's here.
Oh, Pfizer. Yeah,
thank you, vaccination.
Drugs? You want some drugs? Make some drugs. Do you want some submarines? We got some submarines.
We got submarines. We got drugs.
You shouldn't mix the two.
No, I don't think you're allowed to.
I think that's probably clearance. Pretty frowned upon.
Yeah, I hear that you shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel that. So that's where we're out of, and we both, Slice and I, are on the executive board of that league.
We sure are.
Yeah, we are.
We are.
I am head of coaching and training for the league, and Slicey.
I am the media commander.
Yeah, you are.
I take care of so many media things. It's ridiculous.
You command it.
I command that media so hard.
Yep. With an iron fist.
Two iron fists. That's what I'm known for. I'm known for how much of an iron fist I have when it comes to anything and everything.
The funny part is that she doesn't.
No. My conversations with people usually start off with, "Hey, beautiful."
So, yeah, about this thing.
Hey, did I mention how pretty you look today?
So basically, if you ever start off with me like that, there's something coming that I don't want to hear. Cool. No. Tuck that in my back pocket.
I think our conversations is usually like, "What up, bitch?"
I don't think you've actually ever said that to me. What up, bitch?
What up, bitch?
It's usually like, hey, my dude.
What's up, my dude?
What's up, my dude?
Usually in most, like, the inappropriate times, too. So it's like in the middle of an executive board meeting where we're both cracking each other up and cannot stay on topic.
No, we're pretty annoying that way.
Yeah, we are.
When Jin, who is our president, hey, Jin, when she's just like, all right, focus, guys. Like, we want to get
this. I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
Valid. Totally valid. Our shenanigans have to wait.
We feel that. We get that. And this is why we decided to start a podcast, because we really just needed a home, a place to put our shenanigans that wasn't in the middle of an executive board meeting.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Or taking over part of a bout.
Yeah.
I hated Slice for an entire bout this month.
Yeah, she did.
Because of shenanigans.
She did.
And they were shenanigans, I'll tell you. That.
Do you want to tell the story of the shenanigans?
Should I tell the story?
I think you should tell the story because it's a great story.
It was a great story.
I'm actually really proud of my shenanigans this time.
I think we both went a little too far. But not really.
No, I definitely didn't. I went exactly as far as I needed to go.
Well, I suppose that's true. All right, fine. So the shenanigans is that we were going to play an away game, our first away game of the season, and it was in upstate Massachusetts. And it was actually very close to a store, a roller derby store, which is pretty much the only one in our area at all.
Yeah, really.
Without going into New York City. Called Bruised Boutique. What a fabulous shop that is. We are not sponsored by them or anything, but they are just like a really awesome place to go try out skates, and a lot of people go there and you can order stuff online and they'll hold it for you for if somebody's going to come pick it up and save the cost of shipping. Mm-hmm. So this bout, which was the beginning of June, was not far, so a bunch of people were going up to go there to try on skates, do things that you do in a roller derby shop. So I had talked to Slice like 2 weeks prior. It was like, hey, I think I need some new wheels. I'm gonna order some wheels, and just if you can grab them for me. She's like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Okay, cool. Day before comes, or like the practice before, and I'm like, hey, yeah, don't forget, I'm gonna order those wheels. You gotta make sure you pick them up. Yep, got it, cool. Day of, I'm like, all right, I place the order for the wheels. Are you going to pick them up? But not only did I text her this information, but I also messaged her on Facebook Messenger, which is our primary source of communication. So I put it in two places because anxiety brain is annoying. And then I apologized for sending it to her in two places. And then she sent some sort of snarky, snide remark.
I said, I'm sorry. Can you please repeat that in a different messenger or a way of communication? I didn't quite get the message.
Yeah, there you go. So I took that as a personal attack. And I proceeded to message her on Instagram. I sent her an email. I posted to her Facebook wall. So it came across her feed. What else did I do? I called Hannah or Riff Rafferty. I called her, who was in the car with Slice, to remind her because Slice told me to never call her unless I'm extraordinarily high. And I wasn't at the time, so I couldn't go against the rule. So I called Raph instead and had her make sure she told her. So what I did end up telling Slice was that, oh, crap, when I placed the order, I misspelled your last name.
I took full advantage of that.
That's right. So I get a phone call. I'm at work, by the way. It was a Saturday that I worked. And so I get a call from a New Hampshire number, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's something about my order. And the chick on the phone was like, hey, yeah, so we have this package of yours here that you ordered, but it's going to a Megan Belliveau, but like the last name is misspelled. So I just need to verify who this is going to. And my first reaction was like, fuck you. Like, it was literally like, fuck you. Because there is no fucking way that this chick is calling me about like one letter misspelling. but maybe there's like a 1% chance that this is legit and I have to be like kind. So I was like, oh yeah, so the last name is spelled blah 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 blah, and I could hear her starting to laugh, and then I could hear laughing in the background, and I'm like, you know what, tell that asshole she's such an asshole or something like that.
And she did. She said, she's like, you're an asshole. And she was very, very, very nice. She's a wonderful human being, and I appreciated her so much for that prank, because I like literally walked in and I was like, I need you to help me with a thing. And she was like, hell yeah, I'm here for this. Let's do it. She was great. I loved her.
In fairness, I think when you work retail, you just live for moments like that.
Yeah, and it's also Brew's Boutique, where everybody who works there is very awesome. So
yeah, and
roller derby players. Right, so
exactly. So that was our shenanigans that was then forwarded to the bout that followed soon after this shopping trip, where I was informed that she almost left without the wheels.
I did almost leave without the wheels. I was so excited about my purchases that I almost left your wheels behind. I got them. Everything worked out. Yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
It's all fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all true. It's true.
Everything's fine. So let me turn this around on you then.
What?
How did you start roller derby? Because yours is way different than mine.
Yeah.
You didn't have COVID.
I didn't. No, because I started playing I went to my very first practice in October of 2011.
Wow.
I know. It's like 12 years ago. Almost.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
But it actually just made me think, because I went to my very dear friend's wife's baby shower. And now it just dawned on me, like, that's how old his oldest is. And I'm just like, oh, my God. She's 12 now.
Yeah.
And that happens. And it's very weird. Anyway, as a person who doesn't have kids, I just find that whole, like, speedy aging thing.
It's insane. I hate it.
Yeah, it's really weird.
But I also love it at the same time. Because, like, the older they get, the more independent they get. And the less they rely on you. And it's like, oh, you can get up and make your own breakfast now? Amazing. I'm going to sleep in.
Yeah.
Love that.
Love that for you.
I love that journey for me.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't ever have to worry about that, except for letting the dogs out, which is pretty fab. Not to rub that in. Anyway.
Thanks.
Kids are great. I just, it wasn't my path. So anyway, so I had actually reached out to Shoreline first because I heard that there was roller derby in my area. Now, my interest was peaked back in, I would say, like 2006, when I heard that I was living in Rhode Island and I heard that there was a roller derby league in Providence. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is a thing where people like skate and like hit each other on skates. I'm like, what is this magical thing? Because I had like, I am not a sporty person. Nope. Not a sport bone in my body. My brother got all those sport genes. I got none. But what we always did as a family was skate. We always skated. We went to like family skate at Skate Inn and Plainfield, and we did that thing. And I just grew up skating, and I was an artistic skater when I was a kid. So I was like, it's the only sporty thing I'm good at or remotely good at. So when I heard about it, I'm like, oh, wow, that's amazing. But like, I even reached out to them, and it was like, it was a lot of money for me when I was like 25 just to afford $40 a month for like dues. It was like, yeah, I don't think I can do that. So life happened and it brought me back to move next door to my parents at the time. And I heard about local leagues, like one opening up in Shoreline and in Groton and one opening up in Hartford. And I had emailed Groton because it was closer to me than going out to Hartford, and nobody got back to me. But I reached out to Hartford Area Roller Derby, where Baby Carnage was born.
Aww,
so
Baby
they
Carnage.
Reached out to me right away. So I went to the first practice and yeah, like hooked. I was so hooked. I was like, this is everything I've ever wanted from activity. Like, there's no balls involved. All right, cool. I can skate. I can skate fast. I know how to skate. And yeah, I was full bore.
Was it the actual skating that kept you there, that like kept you hooked? Or was it the community that comes with roller derby?
Not at first the community, because I was pretty like socially awkward, but like so was everybody else in derby.
Check and so, check.
And I was like really intimidated, but like I knew that there was a community there that I wanted. Like, but it like derby back in the day was a little bit pretentious. I don't know if pretentious is the right word, but like you had to prove your worth and like earn your stripes, you know, like you had to like earn your name. You actually at Hard, they had a rule back in the day where you had to like get to like level 2 before you could even pick a derby game.
That always weirds me out when people say that they had to wait so long to pick a derby name, because it's like, the sooner you have one, the sooner it's easier for me to remember your name.
That's true. Though I think over the years, because of my roles in derby, like I'm pretty good at remembering people's names.
Oh, that makes one of us.
Anyway, so I had skated with Hard for a whole season. Like I started before their season started, like 6 months before the season started, and I ended up making the team in my first season that they played. And after that season ended, I tore my ACL
womp, womp.
In front of a brand new freshie class.
Hey, kids.
Hey, kids. By the way, this is how you injure yourself in roller derby.
ACLs and ankles.
They are super fab. So I ended up having surgery and was out of derby for a couple months. And that's when my community really like kicked in. Like, it was amazing, the support and the like just the love that I felt. Even just that season too, I'd never played a sport where I had like a season and I like got MVP, and I'm like, oh my god, like it was like one of the happiest days of my life. It was so silly. I still have obviously all my MVP trophies. It's a wonderful experience. It's a stupid pieces of junk, like not, and they're not stupid obviously to me and then people who get them, but like it's just a ridiculous piece of junk, usually spray painted gold.
I absolutely adore my MVP trophy that I got at my very first bout.
Well, that was because Bree made them, right?
Bree made them. Bree-witched. Yeah.
Bree-witched the craft goddess who's been making
her MVPs. I don't know how she does it. It's just amazing. It's... I mean, I'm pretty crafty and I'm pretty artsy, but man,
But like, bravo, Bree.
Above and beyond.
That's right.
I think that on the latest ones, the tentacles, she said it was like resin. Yeah. She made them with resin. Like, that's how... Oh, so good.
Like, bravo. Yeah. So good. So then after I had my surgery, I came back. No doubt in my mind I was playing again. So I actually finished playing that second season. Like, I played in a couple games, and but then realized that it didn't feel right to keep skating. Like, something was up with my knee. That's a long story. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Nah, not everybody here, obviously, but it's a long story.
We will cover injuries some other time.
Yeah, we will cover injuries
in another episode.
So stay tuned. So I ended up coaching. I ended up coaching for a couple years, from I think 2013 to 2016. And then I got derby burnt out.
The derb burn.
And, but then I came back to it in 2018 after I had a really difficult, really difficult year. And I knew that, you know, when I first joined derby, it really did. It's so cliche, but it really did save my soul. Like, it really put me in a place where I felt the most me I've ever felt.
So was 2018, was that hard, or was that when you went to Shoreline?
That's when I went to Shoreline.
It was 2018. Okay.
Because I wanted something a little closer. I didn't want to take it so seriously when I was with Hart. I just was really very serious about it, and it became not fun, I think, for me. So I think with the time off that I had in between 2016 and 18, it kind of gave me a different perspective. I grew up a lot, and I learned a lot of things, and I wanted it to be fun, but I needed it to save me again because I was so, I had a lot of loss that year. Mm. So it was tough. But then I found a home at Shoreline, and I played one whole season with Shoreline before COVID. God damn it.
The dark times. The dark times.
And we played a whole season, and then I was gearing up to play the next season in 2020, and womp, womp, womp.
Well, on the plus side, if it wasn't for COVID, I probably wouldn't have joined. It was was really like the push for me to join of like, fuck it.
Yeah, and we are going to cover COVID on an episode.
We are. So, we have so many plans, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We have, like, a whole list.
We probably have, like, what was it, 2 years worth of content?
Hopefully it all works out.
Not that we've been planning this or anything while.
No, no. And really, in the grand scheme of things, we kind of have it. It was just one of those things, like, oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, yes. Like, we totally need to do
this. I mean, this whole concept started out as kind of a joke.
For sure.
Like, oh my God, we are hilarious. We should totally start a podcast. We're so funny.
And people are going to listen to this at like 30 minutes in, which is where we're at right now, and be like, these chicks are so annoying. These two Karens who just did the most white girl thing possible and made themselves a podcast.
Pay attention to me.
Oh my God, I'm so funny.
I'm so funny.
Wow, you're just amazing to listen to.
You're just amazing to listen to. This was the birth of our podcast.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, our friendship has evolved to just speaking in memes to each other.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, and really, you know, you've gone full bore when all the memes are related to Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. We've had entire conversations with Schitt's Creek memes.
You can actually do that, though.
You can. Like, we found out.
It's like, are we actually making sense? Yes, we are. I don't know how this happened, but it's amazing.
Memes and Instagram shorts and, oh my gosh.
My new method of communication, really, with a lot of people. And I don't know if that's good or not.
Probably, I don't know. I think it's the millennial in us that we just need to, like, memes and...
But I'm not. Like, you're more millennial than
me. Like, you're elder millennial.
Yes, thank you. Am I geriatric millennial?
You're geriatric millennial. Wow. No, but you're not Gen X. So, yeah.
I'm, like, in that special group. I know. It's true. I am. I'm special.
I think you can't just make your own group.
No, it's a special group. No, like, you can't. They've actually said it on the medias.
On the medias? Which medias?
The internet medias.
The internet medias?
Yeah, the internet medias said that I, like, if you were born, like, in 1881, it was that, like, golden time where you could still, like, you learned computers in like high school. I don't know, it's a special term.
I think you're just an elder millennial, and you're just,
that's rude,
and you just don't want to say it.
I am not elder anything, thank you so much. I'm middle-aged.
Wise. How about wise millennial?
Why, fine, wise is fine.
Why?
I'm wizen. Why?
You're a wizard.
I'm wizen. I'm wizen.
You're a wizen. The Sorry. Wisiest.
The wisenest.
We want to hear about your introduction to Derby.
Yeah, we definitely do.
We do. If you send us an email at cominghotintothebox@gmail.com, we might read your emails on the pod.
Or you could even DM us on Instagram. We also have an Instagram. Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah. I made that.
You did. You totally made that.
I did. I got very excited.
Slice has been like the clutch here. She's like, I'm gonna make everything run, and I'm just like, I am here for it.
Yeah, I learned I am not a sound engineer,
but I would say that that's probably not exactly true today. She has definitely been more of the helm sound engineer than me, though. The way we are recording this today, if it works, bravo to our not sound engineer.
Oh my gosh, if this works, I am a sound engineer. Give me a fucking degree.
Yeah, please. Like, hello, Harvard. Where are you?
Excuse me, Harvard. Do you even do sound?
Do you even do sound engineering? I mean, I know you just gave like an honorary degree to fucking like Tom Hanks, but like, what has he really done?
He's an American treasure.
He's an American treasure.
Yeah, I love Tom Hanks.
I do too. It was totally not a dig against Tom Hanks. It was more of a diss against Harvard.
Yeah.
But I guess I should. I mean, I could always.
Yale's pretty close. I could just go to Yale and be like, hey,
yeah, but
Yale.
But Yale's like more medicine-y.
But then I would have theater. I would have to go to New Haven, which I don't want to do that.
Why? New Haven's kind of fine. I mean, it's kind of fine, right? I mean, like, it's got IKEA.
Oh, that's right. Just have I will go to IKEA to pick up my audio engineer degree.
Yes. Oh, yes. And get a Malm bookcase while you're at it for all of your sound equipment.
Thanks, IKEA.
Thanks, IKEA.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Totally not a sponsor. They also have Pepe's Pizza.
I do like Pepe's Pizza.
Yeah. I mean,
if you go to New Haven, I would go somewhere that's not Pepe's Pizza, because it's like the world is your oyster when it comes to New Haven style pizza.
We have gone to other restaurants in New Haven that are quite delightful.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
But then again, I would still have to go to New Haven, and I just don't want to do that.
Mm-mm, no.
So much for that audio engineering degree.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, womp womp.
I'm sure you could apply for one online.
There you go.
You could do that. Like, I applied to be an ordained minister. And I am ordained by the Universal Life Church, I think.
Yeah.
That's the name of it. Yeah. I can marry you.
I'm already married.
Okay, but I can- If you wanted to renew your vows, I would be that person. I give great orations.
But would I need an ordained minister to read... redo my vows?
Yeah, I think you do.
No, I don't think you do.
No, you totally do.
You know what? If I do that,
if you do that,
on my list.
But you should call me first.
You'll be the first one I call.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, my friend, who I mentioned about his daughter, who just is old as like my Derby career. He's the one that married me and my husband, and he used the Beastie Boys book as our Bible.
And that's fantastic.
It was fantastic. It was really a really nice touch.
Mm.
Like chef's kiss. Perfect.
Do you think that there's people who have gotten married in their Derby gear?
Ooh, I don't know. But I would say, first of all, I really hope they fucking washed it before they put it on.
Oh, no. It has all of the sweat on it.
Oh, God, no.
It stinks.
I do know of somebody who got engaged during a bout.
Okay. That seems more realistic.
Yeah, I would say so.
If you got married wearing Derby gear,
Please write us.
Oh, yeah. Yes. If you did get married with a roller derby theme, we want to know. Yeah. We want to know.
Email us.
Email us.
We want to know your derby stories.
Yeah, we do want to know your derby stories.
We absolutely do. We want to know your ridiculous, crazy.
How did you get into this? What brought you to the sport? We would really love some feedback. And if you perhaps are friends with us, we might even have you on the show.
Maybe.
Talk about it a little.
Well, depends on how friendly we are with those friends.
That's true. We're how selective,
much,
I
how
guess.
How much chocolate are you going to give me to be on this show?
Does it have to have THC in it?
No.
Okay. Can it have THC in it?
For Carnage, that's a must.
Well, I mean, it's not a must, but it's a lot more fun.
I mean, you're more likely to get on the show if the chocolate has THC in it.
That's true. I do take well to bribes.
Yeah. I mean, I will never turn down a good bribe.
No, me either. No, I absolutely. Mean, I have no qualms. Like, I have strong moral values on certain things, but bribes? Meh. Pretty weak.
Shame? What's that?
Shame. Oh, I have shame. I have tons of shame. I went to Catholic school. Like,
that's that ingrained.
It's ingrained shame.
Religious shame.
It's the organized religion shame.
I think we all have a little bit of that.
Well, because you were born with original sin, so you are. So.
Oh, God, that trauma. It's seeping in.
So basically, you're just fucked from the beginning. So you already have the like ingrained shame. But anyway, that's at least what I was told by Sister Annette and Sister Teresa.
Who are definitely not listening to this podcast.
They're probably not.
They're probably dead.
Yeah, they are probably.
R.I.P. sisters.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Did Ooh. You learn about roller derby from Providence when you saw that Providence was playing roller derby and you're like, oh my God, what's this crazy thing? Or did you learn about it prior to that?
I don't think I had really heard about it because derby was resurged in Texas in 2003 and then it made its way up here, I think, in like the mid-aughts. Hmm. And I didn't hear about it until I heard about the Providence. And that's why I was like, what is this? And I checked out their website and like it gave you some information. But like derby was a pretty different sport back then.
Yeah. Oh, how the rules have changed.
Yeah. How the rules have changed, which should be something we talk about because it's actually really weird and interesting.
We will add it to our list.
We're going to add it to the list.
Put it on the list.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love that for us.
We'll talk about the rules that we hate and the ones that we were glad to see go.
You'd have to be really OG derby to like know of poodling and like pulling a fourth minor penalty to get one major penalty because there were a major and minor penalties.
This is why it's so hard for people to watch derby because they're like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh my God. In the very beginning, it was like, okay, so if I push her on the back just like this, it's a minor penalty. I don't have to leave the track, but once I get four of those, then I have to leave the track.
Oh my God. How would they keep track of that?
Oh, it was... It was so crazy. Like, it was so bananas.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine.
And then I think it was in 2013 or 2012 when they were like, WIFTA was like, halt. No, we cannot. This is too much. We need to make this simpler. And they just got rid of the minors and just kept the major.
This is too crazy. We went too hard.
Went too far.
We need to scale back.
Yep. Put on the brakes.
I hate it when we go too hard.
And we should clarify that we do skate flat track derby and not bank
we
track.
We do. I think there's only like, what, 3 bank tracks in the United States?
Oh, see, I don't know, but I heard it was kind of making more of a resurgence in California.
Yeah, but
I know
isn't it like super expensive to build?
Well, there are different rule sets for bank derby. Like, you can throw elbows and stuff.
Well, I already throw elbows.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't.
No, I don't.
If our ref Hubs is listening to this, she is never done that before.
Hubs would probably disagree and be like, I'm pretty sure I sent her to the box. Actually, I don't think I've ever gotten an elbow penalty. My penalties are pretty low. I got a pretty low penalty track.
Yeah, I don't think there even are elbow penalties. It's like high block, low block.
Mine are always like multiplayer.
Yeah, well, as is most people.
Yeah.
Back blocks.
Multiplayer and forearms, I think, are the two that I'm always called out on.
Well, that would be like your elbows. Probably using elbows.
So, I'm throwing elbows.
See? It's terrible. This is all just terrible. Yeah, so we are pretty much wrapped up here.
We are. Oh, man, we went off the rails.
That's okay. That's what this is all about. Going off the rails. Oh, one thing I didn't answer that I asked you that I felt I should answer is how, like, my family has.
How does your family?
So when I first told my parents that I was trying out roller derby, my mom's like, roller derby? She always does this thing whenever she's like incredulous about a thing that, like, what is happening? Roller derby? Like, yeah. And she's like, oh, well. All right. I mean, you kind of get hurt, right? Like, you could hurt yourself. Yes, I could hurt myself, but it is amazing, Mom, and I'm doing it. And she's like, okay. I will say my mom has come to every game that I've played in.
Aww.
And a lot of away games with me, too. So, yeah.
Aww. My mom is in Virginia, so she can't really come.
No, I get that. That's a bummer.
But a bummer.
She's a good supporter. My dad has a harder time being like sitting for that long and like being in an uncomfortable like bleacher. So he's come to a couple of games, but not too many. But yeah, I mean, I think they have mixed feelings about it because in the beginning it was very expensive and I was like struggling with my new house that I bought and like they didn't want me to make bad financial decisions. And my mom ended up buying me my first pair of skates for my birthday and Christmas.
Aww.
Because my birthday's in December, which sucks. But I get a new pair of skates for that. So that's what I got that year. And so, yeah, I've had the support and the fact that now it's just like a second job for me. It's like they don't even really ask. Just like, yeah, I'm doing the Sig for Derby. Hey, Mom, can I borrow your truck for a parade? Do you want to drive it? Do you want me to drive it? No, you want to drive it? I mean, it's up to you. It's up to you. But she's a good sport, and now I'm trying to get my nephew interested in skating, and he Aww. Does love that, too. So
again, we are not starting a junior roller derby league.
No. I already have kids of cousins that I have talked about doing that for, and I'm like, I would really love to do it for you kids, but I can't do it.
No, we can't.
Can't do one more thing, but do damn, it. God, it really needs to happen.
It really does need to happen. Somebody should do that. That's not us.
Yeah, because I feel like junior derby is really becoming a big pool of talent. That
the youths. The youths.
They're playing this game that really, you feel old after about when you're old.
Well, we went to BOTUS and we watched a couple of youths.
Yeah.
And we were like, God damn. They just have all of the energy in the world.
They really do. I'm jealous of their 18-year-old bodies. Just like being able to do all the things.
And their flexible joints.
And they bounce when they fall and they just get back up. I'm like, how do you do that? Like, that's unfair. I remember actually seeing my first like young skater when I was with Hard, and she is still like one of the best players that ever was in that league, but her first night skating, like, I was like, who the fuck is this? And she like fell but literally bounced to like a stand again, and I'm like, I mean, and I was only like 32 at the time, so I mean, I wasn't old, but like, I wasn't that young. Not to be able to do that.
32 when the back pain starts creeping in.
Yeah. And now I have a bad knee and a good knee.
Yeah, that's just life now.
It's like my physical therapist is like, oh, how's it feeling today? I'm like, well, like, I've had knee surgery twice. I mean, it's fine, but it's not the same. Well, so I know we have to work on like theme music and outros.
Yeah,
those are all things that we will evolve and really, I think, come up with something really cool for y'all. So if you have any suggestions, again, you can email us or DM us on Instagram.
I'll put temporary stuff in for this episode. It will be temporary, though. I'm not gonna marry it.
No, okay, I'm good. I, you know, the commitment of that, it makes me nervous anyway.
But I don't know. I'd have a really hard time making something without music. I don't know. I'd be like, oh.
Can't yeah, just get it right into music, it. But like,
I don't know. This is an evolving process. This is our first rodeo.
Yeah, and we've been talking for almost 50 minutes. Look at us with our first rodeo. Hey, that wasn't hard at all. Shocking.
Minus the trip to Walmart and Target.
And coming up with plan B so that we could just record out tonight because we really had to do it. Yeah. It needed to get done for no reason.
It needed to get done because my anxiety can't wait anymore.
Oh, we'll be definitely talking about that, how anxiety plays a role in roller derby and mental health. So
if you don't have anxiety and you play roller derby, I call bullshit and you definitely have anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. And in considering my role within the league, I know everybody's source of anxiety.
Everybody has anxiety.
Everybody has anxieties. Just check out my messages. Yeah. And I get it. It, you know, it's a crazy world we live in. Mm-hmm. But we found solace in the oval. Skate in the oval, man.
Word.
I don't know. That sounded really dumb.
Skate in the oval. The
just
diamond.
We're just turning. I call it a circle.
Is it a circle? I don't know. It's either a circle. Skating the diamond.
Yeah, skate the diamond. I didn't say the circle.
Oh, okay. Well,
I like the circle.
I'm just going to stick with the oval then.
Well, just keep turning left. That's, you know, just keep turning left. And just like, oh, gosh, I hit the microphone. Just like left turn pottery. My business. Just keep turning left.
That one is a sponsor.
Yes. Sponsored by Left Turn Pottery, all of your funky and fun, fabulous finds that are handmade. Check it out.
On Instagram. So, again, email us basically any of your roller derby stories.
Yeah.
We'd like to hear from you.
And talk about this podcast with your friends.
Yeah.
Share it. Rate us.
Share it. And share it.
Like
it.
Rate it.
Be kind.
Smack it. Flip it. Rub it down.
Does it like it? Does the pod like it?
Yeah, it does.
Does it give consent?
Well, yeah, of course it does.
Fantastic.
Because it's coming hot into the box.
It is coming hot into the box.
Hey-o. All right. From Carnage here.
And Slice.
This is Coming Hot Into the Box.
Bye.
Bye.